Ali sam ne bi se razdenopio, ljudi ne. Da im nisam. Da im nisam, ne kom sveći su već džesas. Ali sam ne bi se na ime iznake. Ne se za njih mojeli, ja ću gleda od jednog džesa. Pa kasi. Pa znači sam. Ti ovaj kajnis, uvijek je mi je ono, kako sam gleda se sa mnoći. We're going to be looking at this passage of scripture this morning. So if you've got your Bibles with you, and I know that you all belong to the AWB party, and you can switch Bibles. You all got your NIVs with you. So I'm going to be reading from Britannia's personal translation. And it's a translation called the Passion Translation. And I really, really enjoy this passage. If you've got money and someone gives you a gift of money and you're looking for something to do, buy a Passion Translation. It's worth it. It's from Ephesians in chapter 2 and from verse 1. I will give them 3 for those who would like to go and bring your Bibles. Just a word from my sponsor. In his fullness, or his fullness, filling you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The connection that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated. Living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath, like everyone else. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by His wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one. And we ascended with Him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. So we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation. For it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. And no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become His poetry. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us. We are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. I think that's enough, isn't it? That's just another beautiful passage of scripture. and what we have experienced and what we have been given in Jesus. Now, I think people still know not to offend people. And I know that's a really good for a couple of people, so we're going to do it differently. This is not to offend some people. I'm only going to. And I know my real encouragement is if I actually would bring an encouragement and a challenge and a comfort to you. Because once I came to know Jesus, I offended so many people. I was so encouraged by what Jesus did in my life. All I wanted to do was to tell other people about Jesus. And I was so insensitive sometimes that I offended people. And I offended people quite badly. And told people, instead of telling them to Jesus, sometimes I turn them away from Jesus. And I'm hoping that this will be something peace to share with you this morning. How not to offend some people. So, on your side, what was the question I used to go out to people and say, you can't. You know how you get upset about that sometimes? You get offended.
I was going to say something else with the word.
By this faith, Jesus has been on a cross for nearly an hour. I don't know if you can think about it like that. But he was hanging on a cross for 6 hours so that we can complain about being in church for an hour. This is only the midway mark
of this incredible love story that God has got displaying for us.
It's the most wonderful love story that has ever been told in the whole of history. But it's only the midway mark. And many people in the churches that haven't reached the midway mark in their life with Jesus. They're living on the wrong side of the cross, as I would put it. They're still living in their sin, but I'm in church on Sunday. And the whole purpose of why he was hanging on a cross is not so that we can just be forgiven, but that we could have victory over sin, and that sin would no longer reign in our life, that we would be living people as the example of Jesus, the purity of Jesus, the sinlessness of Jesus. But it is one of the most gracious, rescue stories in the whole of the history of mankind. In one in which we were translated, if you were listening to the passages we read, you were translated, translocated, you were moved, you can never be in Christ and still remain in sin. You've been transferred from that kingdom where Satan was reigning into the kingdom where Jesus is reigning. That's why I'm saying some people are only at the midway mark. Because you're still stuck in that sin. And the power that God has displayed has really not taken root in my life to the point where I have moved into the kingdom of light, of holiness, of grace. Some of you know, another passion translation from the one that you know so well. For here is the way God loved the world. He gave his only unique son as a gift. So now, everyone who believes in him will never perish, but is silent. The words are very important. You will never perish, but you will experience everlasting life. Not when you die, and it's so many people are hanging on who are not going to heaven. You already been seated with us in the scripture. You can seek it with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. You never perish, but experience eternal life. God does not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be his Savior and rescue it. Such an important passage of Scripture. But the Greek word that is being used there is the word Savior. It's a good word. I'm trying to impress on you. It's translated in many different ways. There's no one English word that would adequately explain or describe or unveil the meaning of the word Savior. It has been, it's been translated in this way: to be saved, to be delivered, to protect, to be rescued, to be made whole, to be healed, to be preserved. All of those meanings are included in that one word, Savior. So when I say, are you saved, it could mean, have you been healed? Have you been made whole? Are you still suffering under the pain of what sin does to you? Or have you been healed from the power of that sin? Being saved is not just a good Christian word to be thrown around. It's got a whole lot of meaning. And every one of those words is something that each one of us can and should experience. But any person who's been saved, I couldn't think of the past. Anyone who's been chosen will guide him and trust him and gratefully declare that they have been rescued or saved. You won't be annoyed. You won't run away from it. Anybody who's experienced it will guide him to me. So I want to tell you two stories this morning. I love telling stories. I hope that I have explained to you the joy and the gladness of being saved. And the word is filled with what we call daredevil. This is one of them. And you know, what's a good name? Telegrama. He's a Finnish guy, but he was the guy that took part in a single-handed yacht race in 1996. It started in somewhere in Paris, and it was in France. And the idea was that they would sail down around Africa, across South Africa, and then go all the way past Australia. And he was here on this island, talking about ghosts. From Australia, or kilometers actually, 1,500 kilometers north of the Antarctic, is taking years to storm, with waves that were 30 to 40 foot high. And so, for protection, he climbed inside the boat, inside the patrol, close to the door. And he hears it when he's sitting on the boat. Something like a mouse. If you're in a corner, you're going to get
put on an emergency device, and all you need to do is a bottle of sweat and a couple of bottles of water for 4 days. You know the proverbial English translation of the text, looking for the needle in the haystack. This is the result. This thing makes a difference. That's between Australian Air Force and the Australian Navy were alerted to the fact that this guy had this accident. And so they stepped off to the guy real quick. And you have to find looking for something that small in such a vast ocean. But sometimes you have to fall down. And the great block to see in the book is called a figure, HMS. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to corpse. It wasn't that long ago that he lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority, and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. Do you know what he's working? He is at ease to give in to sin, and he does. From birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of a certain life. Not one of us who suffered supposed to say I'm innocent, but I've never sinned in my life. It's like someone saying I've never lied. The only time you know that some of our people are not here, we live by whatever natural qualities and thoughts and minds dictate, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. He's explaining what their condition was like. What was he like before he met Jesus? It's a good question. Because unless you know what you were like, you don't know what it's like to be saved. The degree of your happiness and joy and thankfulness is directly related to how much you realize how big you were. Simply what you were doing. But when you did, when you were doing things before, and God warned us very, very early, if you don't do anything you like, just don't eat of that particular tree, don't go in there. And what did he do? Your son there was born. If you do go in there, you will die. Maybe that's the warning for some of us sitting here. You see, living in the area of sin, enjoying it. I'm talking to myself. Why is necessary to spot the way and really clearly that before we met Jesus, we were living as rebellious children? Subject to God's wrath. It's still the same God. The New Testament isn't the water that gashes the flames of God's wrath. To be dead means that you have to. You see that you don't 6 days a week, like me, church on Sunday, so you're not preaching. You don't have to criticize some churches on water. Some churches stink. Well, that's it. That's the way my life is still going. You've only been dead for 2 days. Some people have been dead for a long period of time. This is the other thing that happens. You were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Guys, I'm not sharing this just to make Better yet than they ever dreamed. from death to life. The other person, what we are experiencing the entire life of Jesus. Seriously, what are you saying? He's here for so much more than we are. It's the most thing seems to be risky, but think about it this way. Jesus actually saved you from God's wrath. God himself saves you from God himself. How do you put it in to the life of Jesus? That's how much he loves you and wants you to be, and for myself to be with you. Because he's not in God's heart to send anybody to hell. Maybe it seems rather to go away than to heed the call of Jesus. My friends, I'd rather stay where I am. I don't know if the offer of God to save us fulfills so much that we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of God's grace and kindness. We will stand humbly to life, and that's the movement that needs to happen in my life, your life. One of the people who came to know this was a very good man. It was a great man. He was a very good cricketer, by the way. Played for England. That was before England became known as South Africa's beauty. Because I understood that. But he had this little something. It's an animal playing a lot of. It's called Only One Life for CB Past. To live in my life one day, playing a music from depths into my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life to see me past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, this only one, soon will sweetly always be done. Then, in this day, my will to me, and stand before his judgment seat, only one life to see me past. Only what's done for Christ will last. We live in a culture when it's wrong to say something wrong. It's not only wrong, but it makes it be perfect to do what's right. I want to give you time to think about what I'm saying. That's why moral courage is one of the rarest forms of courage that is available in South Africa at the moment. Moral courage. It takes the discipline to do what's right. And that's what Jesus did and won. He went right up to the devil's gates. He went through the devil's gates. He took the keys back and he said, I've got the keys of death and hell. I've got them back. So you don't have to be the one that determines who goes there or doesn't go there. And if you are That's what we're talking about today, that we've been rescued.